See, I've been waiting. Waiting on that time. Feel me if you've been waiting on yours. That moment, it's close. It's close.
Yeah. Tired of living day to day like everything's alright. Just waiting on that moment. Waiting on my moment.
Hey everybody, and that time is now. My name is Joe Gilpin. This is the Fighter's Block, joined by Jesse. We were in the middle of a nice conversation, and I said, let's fucking just turn on the microphones. How you doing this week, Jesse?
Doing well. Man, I just saw that interview, the one that is not allowed to be watched in the U.S., Germany, or anywhere outside the U.K., with Anthony Joshua one-on-one getting grilled by some sexy British lady about where he is, his mental state, and was he prepared for the fight against...
Is he still concussed? Like, he's talking like he's still rocked. How fucking hard does fucking Ruiz hit? Because he's going off about fuck Lennox Lewis, you know, I should have whipped Andy Ruiz's ass, like all this. What is he talking about for half of this?
Yeah, you know what? I wonder if he's seen the tape of him losing, because he said that the reason that he lost was because of a lucky punch.
Which one? You got dropped like 10 times, man. You got your ass whooped. If that's a lucky punch, then we can't count any of your wins, because that was as dominant as any of your wins against any of these guys. You know what I mean? Like, buddy, you got your ass whooped. Eat it.
Here's another thing that he said that was kind of weird, is the fact that he said Andy Ruiz had him concussed and he couldn't get him out of there. But he's like, if I had concussed Andy Ruiz, he wouldn't have made it like past that round.
He did get you out of there. You got knocked out. He's still rocked, Jesse. They need to postpone this fucking... because he's still in trouble. And he's going off about, like, fuck Lennox Lewis. You know, what has Lennox Lewis ever done for boxing? He's like, well, he's world heavyweight champion, you know, for one.
Yeah.
And just going off and off and off. And his management team is working triple overtime, trying to keep everybody from seeing this.
It's really bad. And he was evasive. Like, they were like, did you get rocked in training camp? And he gave, like, some weird roundabout. He talked a lot, but none of it answered what the question was.
Do you think he got rocked in training camp?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
That kid fights just like Ruiz, from when we saw him on the zone.
True. Yeah.
He fights just like him.
Yeah, exactly. Chocolate Thunder or whatever?
Yeah. You can't even pretend that, like, you weren't prepared. Maybe he was scared of that style.
Something, man, he was really, you know, you can't say he was taking it a little seriously, at least, because, like, he brought in people that looked like Ruiz, he looked in great shape, you know, like he always does, he was chiseled up. He's going off a fucking cliff. I mean, it's kind of like Tyson, you know what I mean, where Tyson has first loss and suddenly he's like a giant crazy person.
You know what, you know, do you think it might be a situation where he knew what he was getting into, he knew it was going to be harder than what he wanted to go through? And it was kind of like when you're not prepared for a test, but you're like, fuck it, let's see what happens.
Kind of, maybe. I hadn't really considered that he saw this all coming. But then why go crazy after the fact?
Well, because here's the thing that they pointed out, is the fact that he comes out with a certain aura and a certain swagger in every single fight. And in this fight, he did not come out that way.
No, I think that was American debut. I think that was the fact that he was in a new country, he was doing a new thing. Didn't get to sleep in his own, you know, bed or whatever. Not that, you know, he's probably sleeping in hotel rooms before fights anyway, but still. You know, it's a very unfamiliar thing. And I don't think he handled it well. I think he's a little bit of a glass tiger. He got put outside of his environment and couldn't handle it. Good at giving ass whoop, it's not good at taking them. And I said it from the time this podcast started. I thought Deontay Wilder always had the advantage over Anthony Joshua. This interview just reinforces that. Deontay Wilder is way better than Anthony Joshua at this point.
Yeah.
Certainly with media. You would never see Deontay give an interview like that shit. Fucking crazy, man. And Anthony Joshua could go down as, like, the next Mike Tyson in terms of, like, wasted potential after a big loss in the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know what? We talked about you failed U.S. debuts. I can't really think of a big failed star coming to the U.S. Like, I mean, like, Hatton's big victory. You could think of, like, Prince Nassim Ahmed, who came with all the fanfare. But you know what? In MMA, this actually happens quite often. You think of like Shogun when he came here.
Oh, Crow Cop is a good example. When he came to the UFC, at least, you know, it's not his US debut, but it's like a big debut. Although though, he did fight one guy, Eddie Sanchez, and then he had that Brock Lesnar's big debut. You know, got ruined by Frank Mir. It happens more in MMA just because guys get thrown to the wolves immediately, and you know, in boxing they bring you on and they give you the Andy Ruiz's of the world. You know,
another interesting thing about the fight is the interviews, he said that fight, like, oh, you know, everyone's talking about Fury, everyone's talking about Wilder. He's like, but I had to fight Andy Ruiz. Like, that was so beneath me. Like, he beat you.
He wasn't beneath you. He was standing over you while the referee was counting, like, a couple of times. Yeah, it's so... He's acting like it didn't happen in this... He's acting like it didn't happen, but it's also unfair that it happened. It doesn't physically make sense. And yeah, you were like, you know, let's talk about, like, bad U.S. debuts. I tried to look. I couldn't find anything like this.
No.
It doesn't happen. And did you see Andrew Ruiz's trainer come out this week? He's like, oh, he's not in shape. He's not ready for this rematch.
No, did he say that?
Yeah, he said something along the lines of like, yeah, Andy's in horrible shape right now. Like, we're getting him in shape in this training camp. But I don't, maybe, you know, he's just lying. But I think it's true. I just think Andy Ruiz is just like a mid-level guy. I swear to God, Andy Ruiz is going to be another Buster Douglas, where it just it's down and down and down.
I can see that because I don't see him being the other guys in that division.
No, even you get down to like the Joseph Parkers of the world. Like, I think Joseph Parker, did he beat Ruiz? Yeah.
It was a close fight.
It was a close fight.
It was a very close fight.
But still.
More people thought that Ruiz won on TV, and the people who saw it, like, the judges scored it for Parker, but it wasn't a robbery. It was like, I can see that.
It was a close fight. But that's about his level, right? That like second tier kind of guy. He's not a top tier kind of guy.
No, he's a good B. He's a good B fighter. But we didn't know Josh.
He's a good double D fighter these days. He's got them big fat titties. So explain to the people, why can't we see this interview in America?
It hasn't been clear, but a lot of people think that they're protecting the image of Anthony Joshua. I don't know what a VPN is, but apparently that's the only way you can watch it.
Virtual private network. It basically makes it so like... your computer is pretending to be a computer somewhere else.
Ah.
So you could be like, oh, my computer is actually in Brazil or in England or something. You know what I mean? And, like, it helps you, like... It's basically for people who want to, like, fucking... not get found out by the government for various reasons. Or they want to go watch weird-ass Anthony Joshua interviews. How long until he's doing the full... He should just get the fucking face tattoo. Right? He should just go, like,
you know,
full...
What if he came out with a MAGA hat? That would be epic.
No, nobody in MAGA world does that much cardio, though. Jesse, do you want to talk about the fights we had over the weekend?
Yes.
Let's talk about the fights we had over the weekend, because this is actually an amazing card.
Yes.
This is maybe card of the year, maybe not.
We said last week, or I said last week, fuck it, you don't need to watch this card. I was wrong.
Oh, I did not share that opinion, yeah, at the time. This was a really, really, really good card, man. This had a lot of really... Those top three fights, that main card, honestly, the whole main card delivered. And we'll just start at the top. Daniel Cormier's had a really up-and-down week. He loses the heavyweight title, but Popeyes comes out with that new chicken sandwich. So he's kind of like, you take the good, you take the bad. Daniel Cormier whips that ass for three rounds, and then Stipe turns it around and TKOs him in the fourth round. Daniel comes out... really smart, working great combinations, looks like he's in it for the long haul, landing big shots, he's hand-checking Cormier, or he's hand-checking Stipe really well and working through, getting to the clinch, I think he took him down, but Stipe ended up making some really good adjustments later on. When people are hand-checking, you can't throw straight punches. What can you throw? Hooking shots. You can throw hooks, especially to the body. He starts finding those body shots, and it totally changed the course of the fight. DC loses his heavyweight title, and Stipe's the man again.
You know what? I thought it was a very interesting part in that fight where, I want to say it's the end of the third or the end of the second, where Stipe clearly lost. His corner's trying to motivate him to keep going. And Daniel Cormier in his corner...
I need somebody like that in my workplace.
Yeah.
I need, like, listen, champ, you got this. Only 2 more hours left. Keep grinding. Like, you know, just like every time you go to the break room, just like somebody's there to, like... ice you down and, like, massage your shoulders, roll out your forearms. I wish I had that in my place of work.
That'd be awesome. And then Cormier says to his corner, what round is it? Are we winning?
No, but that's common. That happens a lot. I don't take that much from that. I feel like fighters in the middle, especially a five-minute round, is a long fucking time. But also, yeah, Cormier whipped his ass. It wasn't close. Yeah. So that was weird.
So I feel like he got hurt with one of those punches because then the subsequent round, Stipe did way better.
That's true. That is true.
And it was out of the blue. It was like, wait, you were just dominating, and now he's doing way better. Like, are you hurt?
That's a good point. The fighters will ask that, but it's usually after, like, a kind of close round. Those weren't kind of close rounds.
But there was a few punches that landed where I was like,
Yeah, exactly.
What happened there?
Cormier, do you think Cormier has a little vulnerability to the body? Because the only time...
They landed like crazy. It was like a video game.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's not a vulnerability. It's 260-pound Stipe Miocic punched him in the body, like, 15 times. You know what I mean? He didn't have... Man, I think especially those first one or two really hurt because Cormier would not change levels and go for that takedown. He fucking would, you know, he just wouldn't wrestle. And I think it's going to go down. I think it's going to haunt him the rest of his life. You know what I mean? It's just a bad game plan decision, an ego decision. And it fucks with him. Stipe, two-time heavyweight champ. He has the most title defenses in UFC history, I think. If not, he's pretty close. Is he the greatest UFC heavyweight we've ever seen? Greatest UFC heavyweight we've ever seen.
Still tough,
right?
Man.
Tough. He's not the sexy fighter. He's not... Even though he gets a lot of knockouts. You know, he has a good style.
He doesn't have the prime fights, though. That's the one knock on Stipe is, would you still have been able to be this good when everyone's... He's got the Larry Holmes syndrome.
Yeah.
Larry Holmes was, like, the man, like, right at the tail end of everyone's prime. So he didn't really get the props that, like, Ali or Tyson or everyone else got because everyone was past their prime.
That guy is a half beat behind the golden age. You know what I mean? Who comes in and just sweeps everybody up. That's a great point. Man, somebody's going to be that at 155 soon. You know what I mean? Like, there's some young guy out there at 155 because all these guys are so hot right now. Who's going to come in and he's going to catch, you know, a guy like Khabib and Justin Gaethje and, like, all these guys, like, right when they're...
similar ages.
Exactly. They're all around the same age. Dustin Poirier, all these guys. And then he's just going to start, you know, picking them off. To me, it's Stipe is probably the greatest UFC heavyweight we've ever seen. But it's a weight class where it's not like 170. You know what I mean? Where it's like a defined greatest of all time. You know? Or 185 also has that. 125 has that. Women's MMA has that. Heavyweight really doesn't have that one guy.
So 205 has...
John Jones. 85 has Anderson, who I would consider the greatest.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he, you know, 14 fucking wins in a row or whatever
it
was.
I agree.
Yeah.
70?
GSP.
55.
I don't think there is one. Who are you going to say? BJ Penn for the old guys? For the new, you know, maybe Khabib ends up being that guy, but he's not there yet.
I like the fact that's always been a very fractured, unstable... like weight class.
It's so volatile, man. And it makes sense. You know, it's when you get these athletic, you know, guys who aren't NFL big, they kind of end up being 155. You know, when they're in shape and they're cutting weight, they all end up sort of around 155 is the most common.
You remember when RDA looked unbeatable and he gets knocked out by Eddie Alvarez, who looked very vulnerable, like the two fights prior?
Yeah, oh yeah. No, guys will look... Benson Henderson was that guy. Anthony Pettis was, you know, on the Wheaties box. This is the guy. Guys cannot do it, man. I would love to see, I think three might be the most title defenses in UFC lightweight history. It's ridiculous.
135, you got...
145. Do we have a 145?
145.
It's kind of Connor.
Jose.
But Connor knocked out Jose. But Connor knocked out Jose.
Ooh.
And he beat Holloway. But he didn't have the long run. So it's like complicated, right?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of those three guys. Those are the only three guys to hold a UFC title. One guy beat the other two, but he didn't stick around and like really establish himself. But he did beat the other two in the conversation. So I don't think you can really stamp it the same way you do like a GSP at 170.
It's a tough one, yeah.
It's not the same. You know it when you know it, right? It is when it is. But it's not for this.
I feel like Jose is the greatest of all time and Conor beat the greatest of all time.
I agree. What does that make Conor? And he beat Max Holloway.
Yeah.
And Max Holloway beat Jose twice. And we can't say Jose doesn't still have it. He's still whipping asses.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
All right, I guess you got to give it to Conor then.
You got to give it to Conor, but it's very close. Somebody could take it, you know, anytime.
Yeah, I'll go with Conor. I agree with that. All right, one was it 125?
135.
135.
Dominic? Dominic, but TJ, I don't think there is one. There's no greatest.
That's an underrated weight class.
It's a great weight class. Fucking, we can talk about it in a minute. Corey Sandhagen fucking looked great this weekend, man. At 135. Beat a super tough Rafael Assuncao. Won. Two judges gave him all three rounds. The other one gave him 2 out of 3. I mean, whipped Rafael Assuncao. 125, obviously, Demetrius Johnson. And then women's MMA, 145. Do you want to say 145, Amanda Nunes?
Yes.
Or is it Chris Cyborg?
She beat Chris Cyborg.
Same argument that we used for Jose and, you know, it's the same argument. If you want to give it to Conor, you got to give it to Amanda. Amanda, obviously, 135, 125, we don't have one. And 115, I don't think has
Shevchenko?
One. I mean, yeah, but like, I don't like giving Shevchenko that much credit just because so many guys are so horny for her. I kind of like trolling them a little bit, you know what I mean? There's no fan base in MMA that is as horny as the Valentina Shevchenko people. Maybe the Nate Diaz people. People are very horny for Nate Diaz.
Yes.
and then 115, I don't think, has one. Right? Yeah. Rose, not Joanna. Joanna, you know, she had the stuff with Rose. She split with Rose. Right? Or no, she lost to Rose twice.
Yeah.
But then Rose turns around and loses.
Yeah, but that's like the end of her prime, though. Then after that, she started losing.
She's like 26.
She had a great
run. She's not a model. She's a fighter. She's still in her prime.
She had a very Asuka-like run as a champion.
Yeah, true. She put that fucking Asuka lock on everybody. So I think those are the goats when we talk about MMA.
Yeah.
Let's
speak about the
DC, though. Does he retire?
He should, but I'd love to see the trilogy.
I want
to
see the trilogy. I don't think he's going to retire on that because I think his pride in losing in that way is not going to let him keep going. I think he's got to have one more. He's one and one.
I was hoping he didn't cry because I'm like, don't get memed.
I know. Oh, my God. Every time he loses, it's just this like unbelievable meme storm just bukkakeing all over my Instagram.
Have you seen Clay Miles, the stand-up comedian?
Yeah, I've seen Clay.
He has this whole bit now about having low testosterone, having low T, and how it makes you more sensitive. He's about the age of Cormier. Is that what Cormier is going through? Because he's the most sensitive dude.
Could be, man. Cormier has so many miles on him. People don't realize. I mean, this guy is, you know, how many fights in the MMA, and then he had the whole Olympic run before that, college wrestling before that. This guy has fucking been through a meat grinder. I'm not surprised if he's just worn down to a nub.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this co-main event. Nate Diaz. Huge star.
That was the real main event.
Yeah. It was very close. 49-51.
If you look at the crowd was there to see Nate.
Yeah. The crowd was very horny for Nate.
And then when the fight was over, it just felt like Stipe versus Cormier was a bonus.
Yes, I think Stipe versus Cormier, if they didn't deliver in terms of excitement, then it would have been the main event. But Stipe versus DC really, really delivered in terms of excitement. And also, Diaz versus Pettis, to me, was not the most exciting fight of the night. To me, that was the UL fight, the Paulo Costa fight. But Nate came out and did his thing, man. That pressure, that clinch work. I've underrated the clinch work of Nate Diaz too much. You know, he is really, really good in the clinch. Pettis comes out okay. He ends up breaking his foot on one of those kicks, really fucked his foot up, and Nate just took over. He did some really smart stance switching to help him deal with the leg kicks and just really ripped through the defenses of Pettis on the ground. Really impressive win. This is a good win for Nate Diaz. Pettis has obviously been trending lower.
Pettis is the Clay Guida of our generation.
This is the right time to fight Anthony Pettis. This was the right opponent for him at this time because Pettis has been, like, trending down. He gets kind of a fluky win over Stephen Thompson, and so he has a little bit of cachet, and Nate came back and picked a very smart fight. And now he's picking a very smart fight against Masvidal, who's, you know, kind of in that same boat where he's 6-5 in his last 11, so you can't say he's, like, super consistent, but he's coming off of the biggest win of the year of maybe anybody.
Ghetto Jesus versus Nate Diaz for the Ratchet Spanish Fighter Championship.
The gangster weight title?
Yes.
Man, they should, if those guys, those two should main event a pay-per-view. That's got pay-per-view main event written all over it, right? I know they like to put title fights on, but that'll sell more than any title fight except for, you know, a couple.
Yeah, you know, it was. It even got Conor McGregor emotional. Did you see his post that he had about, like...
I've stopped paying attention to Conor.
He posted, like, this big, sappy thing.
He retired, and I was like, straight, peace. Bye, bitch.
He posted this even, like, hey, you may not like me, you know, you may hate me, but I just want to let you know that I, you know, I thought...
May.
That I think you're amazing, you're a great Mexican warrior. And then he posted a picture of them fighting, and he was like, yeah, and, you know, we're 1-1, so if you want that third fight...
Does he need money? Is he getting sued by more old guys that he's punched?
Let's talk about that.
By the way, lost that power in that left hand.
What was that?
That old guy didn't drop.
He was not effective at all.
No, man, he's lost it. Yeah, Conor punches an old guy because the old guy, like, insulted his whiskey. Which is like, I'm Irish, I appreciate whiskey as much as the next guy, but it's not that serious, man. No, he was fucked up drunk, and he thinks he's untouchable, and he's gonna keep getting into fucking trouble, man. He's gotta stop getting fucked up.
Yeah. Well, they have been boycotting his whiskey in Ireland after that event, a situation.
Did they really? Yeah. Ooh, I'm not surprised, man. You know, you can cost yourself a lot of money in those kind of situations. Just dumb shit from a retired fighter who I don't think we're ever gonna see. We'll see him in like 3 or 4 years when he fucking like is flat broke and bankrupt and needs a ton of money. You know what I mean? We'll see him in like a 55-year-old Floyd Mayweather. He'd step back in there again.
Floyd actually is meeting with Manny Pacquiao this week for a rematch.
Great. Fantastic. What a relevant fight.
You remember Grudge Match with Dan, Robert De Niro?
Oh yeah, we're two fucking like 70-year-old men. That's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing a grudge match. And you can talk about a shoulder injury to Manny all you want in their first fight. Floyd outboxed him. Floyd outclassed him. And we spent a long time pretending Manny was even better than he already was because we thought he could beat Floyd. I don't think that second fight's going to do... it's going to do a fraction of the first.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to really tune in. Nate Diaz, huge star, moving closer and closer to the top of the world. Anthony Pettis takes another step back. Anthony Pettis is fragile, right? Every fight he comes out, broken rib, broken hand, broken foot. Man, he's too fragile to be in there throwing hands and feet at people.
Yeah, he's like that guy from the WEC who was really good but was also very fragile. Jamie Varner, you remember
that
guy?
Yeah, Jamie Varner was an amazing guy, but yeah, just every fight he would come out with like 6 broken bones. Man, you know, I'm sorry, you're getting locked in a cage to fight somebody. There's a certain amount of physical resiliency that has to happen.
Yes.
You know, we've seen a lot of boxers have to, you know, their entire career gets affected by a broken hand. Or a propensity to break their hands.
Holly was a freaking phenom, early internet
star. Knocking a ton of people out.
Then his hands started breaking all the time, and then he was feather fisted.
That might be what's going on with Pettis. I know we've always, like, kind of theorized. I still think it has something to do with that weird firebombing that happened. Like, the weird... Also, USADA came in. Not for nothing, USADA testing came in, and Anthony Pettis' career left. We haven't seen the same guy since. Speaking of USADA, let's talk about this next fight. Paulo Costa versus Yoel Romero. Two physical freaks. This was like two superheroes. This is as close as you can get.
This looked amazing.
Yeah.
I thought this would suck, but it was great.
I also thought this would suck. I was right there with you. And 29-28 across the board, Paulo Costa... puts it together. Yoel Romero is like the best third round fighter I've ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? I don't know if I've ever seen him lose a third round, and he has a ton of third round stoppages. So the thing on him has always been like, oh, he gets tired. I don't see that. I see him winning third rounds. I don't see him losing late in fights. But Paulo, man, that forward pressure, I didn't see it coming as a game plan. Most people do not forward pressure on Yoel Romero because of the threat of the flying knee, the threat of the takedown, you know, X, Y, and Z. But he was so confident in his sprawl, and he was so confident in his jab that forward pressure just paid dividends all night. Didn't give Yoel a chance to rest. Because a guy that is always setting up those big explosive movements. I mean, there was a round in the Yoel Romero Robert Whittaker fight where Yoel didn't throw a punch or he didn't do anything, you know, because he got to sit back and he got to wait and he got to rest and recover. And Paulo never gave him those chances and was able to win a lot of these exchanges. Really smart fight from Paulo Costa.
I thought it was good. Did you think that he won the fight, or do you think that you might have edged it towards Romero?
I might have. It was too close. Coin flip. Yeah. It really. As soon as the fight ended, I said they're going to give it to whoever, and every, you know, I'm not going to complain. Ton of bombs landed in this fight. This is one of the best fights of the year.
They booed Costa.
Unbelievable. They got in a clinch for like 35 seconds, and everybody was all over his ass. Like, get the fuck off, dude. He just landed like 10,000 power shots on Yoel Romero, who, by the way, has an underrated chin. You look at the wars with Whitaker. You look at the wars with this war with Costa. You look at all the difficult fights Yoel Romero has been in. This fucker takes a punch with anybody. And Paulo Costa, he ate plenty. You know, he gave as good as he got, and he got as good as he gave. It was a really, really, really good showing from him.
I feel bad on how history's going to remember Romero. Because he needs that title to solidify him.
Yeah, he might be the best guy to never be a champion, right?
And that would suck.
That would suck. He was a world champion in freestyle wrestling, but
history will not remember him well.
I don't know if that's true, man. I think a lot of people do appreciate just how good Yoel is, man. You look at the wins, you look at the resume, he's right up there. But yeah, if he were to get a championship, it really, really would
be something. It would really put it to the next level.
It's like a Michael Bisping thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, imagine if Bisping had never been champion.
Would he be a Hall of Famer? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
A little. It's definitely less so. That title definitely put him over the top.
Yeah.
Paulo Costa, world title shot next?
Yeah.
I think
so. You gotta give it
to him. Yeah, I think so. You beat Yoel Romero, you get a title shot, yeah, for sure. Just going down the cards, Sadiq Youssef, who's actually a DC guy, beat Gabriel Benitez. That was a great knockout win in the first round. I found out a friend of mine from college named Josh is his wrestling coach. So that's cool. He's a TLI guy. Not into that, but so be it. Sadiq Youssef knocks out Benitez. Good for him. Derek Brunson showed a ton of toughness, beating Ian Heinisch.
Yes.
Man, got knocked down real early. Ian Heinisch emptied that tank trying to get it. And Brunson, you know, people have criticized him before, saying he's not that durable. He showed a ton here. Ian Heinisch hits like a motherfucker, and Derek Brunson really took it home.
This was the big talk in this fight was this was Heinisch's big fight, and Brunson is the perfect gatekeeper. And he was really taking offense at being viewed as that gatekeeper for that next level. So, I mean, this is probably his first step of getting out of that stigma.
I agree. Yeah. Although gatekeepers sometimes have to hold the gate. You know what I mean? Like, otherwise you're not a gatekeeper, you just suck. But Derek Brunson is going to stay in the top 10 with this win. It's a really good win for him. Let's go down.
He literally held the gate.
Yeah, he held the gate.
I'm not a gatekeeper. Well, thank you for holding the
gate. Yeah. I'll run this down. Let me know anything you want to talk about. Kama Worthy on 4 days' notice knocks out Devontae Smith. That was really cool. Devontae was a huge favorite in this fight. Kama, big knockout win, happy for him. Corey Sandhagen beat Rafael Sunsau, 30-27 on two cards, 29-28 on the other one. And looks amazing. That guy has all the tricks in the bag. He has everything. He could be a champion at 135 pounds. He's up there. I want to see that guy. He's the kind of guy that they're going to, like, match with TJ Dillashaw when he comes back.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's going to probably beat TJ. You know what I mean? Drakkar Close beats Giagos. There's just a lot of no names on the rest of this. Kyung Ho Kang beats Brandon Davis. Sabina Mazo, I actually saw her the day before this fight, and she is a beast. She's really good. She is training out of King's MMA Cordero and those guys. So she's really, really something. She's somebody to watch at women's flyweight. So that's UFC 241. That's pretty much all the fighting action we had from the last weekend. What are we looking forward to, Jesse? What's coming up this weekend?
This weekend, we have the return of Sergey Kovalev, the Crusher Returns, the ESPN Plus, against the beloved Anthony Yard from the UK, which is going to be, I feel like this is what it's going to be like when Ryan Garcia eventually gets a title shot, where you want him to win because you like him, but you don't think he has the skills to beat someone.
I don't like Ryan Garcia. I think Ryan Garcia is a fucking asshole. Every time I think Ryan Garcia is a fucking heel. Are you rooting for Ryan Garcia? Be honest. Are you rooting for Ryan Garcia?
Have you seen the show The Boys?
Yes.
You remember how, like, there's like that evil Superman called Homelander?
Yes.
That's what Ryan Garcia is.
No, he's not. He's a fucking... Ryan Garcia is a... Isn't he, like... He goes around banging 16-year-olds and, like...
Yeah, he's Homelander.
No. I don't think you're watching that show correctly, first of all. You're not supposed to root for him. I don't view Ryan Garcia as a good guy. I think Ryan Garcia is a bad guy, especially a lot of that baby mama drama that was coming out, and how he handled that, and a lot of the, you know, stuff that was getting leaked about some of the stuff he was saying to her. And
what was he saying?
He was a bad guy. I can look up some of the quotes. It was rough stuff. Maybe you should talk while I do this.
Was he talking about training with Canelo Alvarez and being upset with Golden Boy's promotion of him? And
no, but he has talked about that, right? Ryan Garcia, he is a dramatic little... he's like, you know, he's just not... He's a show pony. He's not a workhorse.
Talking about how he could beat Teofimo Lopez and how that'd be a great fight for them to match up in the weight class. They're both about the same age and they're both undefeated prospects. What else has he talked about? He's the best guy at the gym who's not Canelo. It'd be interesting to see him against Virgil Ortiz. That'd be a fun fight. Virgil Ortiz has looked to be amazing.
What's going on with this Kovalev fight? Let's talk about the we're getting off into Ryan Garcia land. I'm not a Ryan Garcia guy. We can talk about this more the next time Ryan Garcia fights. He has a lot of stuff. I'm trying to find the exact stuff, but it's like he cheated on her and he like forced her to have the baby and he was like, I'll pay for it. Then he's not paying for it. It's like a lot of drama.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a really bad guy. He's a really shitty guy.
He's Homelander.
Homelander is a really shitty guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody thinks he's Superman, but he's a shitty person.
I think a lot of people hate Ryan Garcia. I don't think you are reading the Ryan Garcia room correctly. I think a lot of people are against Ryan Garcia. And I think a lot of people view him as, like, a guy who is, a glass tiger. He's not really there, you know. He's a painting. He's nice to look at. He doesn't really do anything. Because I think even his management team, that's why they're not putting him with anybody tough. Because he didn't he do some like fucking 8-round fight recently where he fucking gassed out horribly?
I think so.
Yeah, he's looked like really, really bad in his last couple. I don't think people are rooting for Ryan Garcia. I think he would be smart to take the heel route.
Well, one guy that has captivated a country and is super beloved is Anthony Yard. And as good as he is, he's undefeated, he's earned the right to be here. There's no one in his track to the title.
Ryan Garcia doesn't speak Spanish?
No.
That's weird. Why does he get trained by fucking Eddie Reynoso? Doesn't Eddie Reynoso only speak Spanish?
Yeah.
Then how the fuck does that work? Maybe. That's why he's looking shitty. He doesn't speak the same fucking language as his fucking trainer.
Maybe through
his There's dad. An issue. Hey, guys, if I could give a free piece of advice to Ryan Garcia's dumbass, maybe speak the same language as your fucking trainer.
Maybe through his dad? That way.
Maybe? Hopefully? Are they just pointing at shit? Fucking idiot. Where were we? Yard.
Yes, Anthony Yard has had a pretty easy trajectory to the title. I thought he was like a medalist or something. He's not. I don't really get how he's so charming that he's captivated so many people. But he's a big star over there, and he's fighting Kovalev. And I don't see any way he wins.
No, Kovalev will 100% stick his face. He's going to stick his fist through the face, through the back of the head somehow. I mean, Kovalev is like a top 10 pound-for-pound level guy. Maybe best case scenario for Anthony Yard, who is undefeated and has looked good against some, you know, to call them B-level guys would be nice. But he's never faced anybody close to this level. And Kovalev is a top 10 pound-for-pound kind of guy. I don't see any... The Crusher's going to take this, and the Crusher's going to pick up a knockout win. Maybe we could see an Andy Ruiz-type win here. Maybe, you know, crazier upsets have happened this year. I don't see it.
Not for nothing, but he has an amazing knockout ratio.
He has a really good knockout ratio. What is he at? Is it like...
95% or something like that?
94%, I just saw it.
Yeah.
18-0, 17 knockouts. Only one time he's gone to the cards. That's amazing. That's really, really good. And that one was like a, you know, his like third fight or something. His second fight he went to the cards. So it's probably like a 4-round fight.
Yeah.
He could get it. These are two bangers. This one isn't going to hit 12 rounds. Somebody's going to go down. And that person will be Anthony Yard. And
yes.
Kovalev is going to retain his WBO title. Bet the house. What else do we have this weekend? We have some Bellator action.
Yeah, we have Bellator action.
That'll be cool. Karatanov is taking on Sergey Karatanov. Former mafia hit, or Russian mafia hitman, right? I'm pretty sure.
I thought he was like special forces.
Like, maybe I'm thinking of Alexander Emelianenko.
He used to come out with like the military outfit when he would fight in Pride.
Yeah, but you can still be, that's not mutually exclusive with a Russian mafia. Mm. You know what I mean? Those are, you know, two sides of the same. Karatanov, really good boxer for MMA. And what that means is that he knows how to jab. That makes you a really, really good MMA boxer. Doesn't move his head, doesn't really move his feet, but will work the body a little bit and has a pretty good jab.
You remember when he grabbed the multi-time K-1 World Grand Prix champion and dominant figurehead, Sammy Schultz, and put him on the ground and beat him with one of the most grotesque ground and pounds I've ever seen in my life?
That was really bad, yeah. Oh, man, that was really rough. I do remember that.
He held him in, like, some kind of rape choke and just started pounding his face in, and the big giant couldn't do anything.
Nothing. He was pinning those hips really well, pinning the shoulders, and just raining down Russian violence on top of him. He's taking on Matt Mitrione. This is actually a rematch, technically. They had a, like, 13-second fight the first time where Matt Mitrione came out, little head movement, shuffled to the side, and then punted Karatanov square in the dick. So hard that they had to stretcher Karatanov out. Really, really bad. Yeah, it was totally unintentional. Karatanov moved forward as Mitrione threw a low leg kick, or a mid-level leg kick, and yeah, just hit him square in the cup, and you knew immediately as it landed the way Karatanov felt, this fight is done-ski. It was the first shot landed in the fight, so obviously you can't take anything from it. Having said that, I think Mitrione, he moves really well for a heavyweight. His leg kicks are good, his jab is good, his head movement is good. I like him in this fight. I think Mitrione's a... He's an underrated heavyweight. A little long in the tooth.
And activity.
And he does it. He fights a lot. And he fights well.
Karatanov took, like, several big, long breaks. And to be honest, he hasn't looked as impressive as he did in his prime.
No, for sure. He is. He's on the wrong side of his fighting career. You know what I mean? He's on the downslope. So I think Matt Mitrione is going to win. I think it's only a 3-round fight. Hopefully it's only a 3-round fight.
Honestly, are we going to watch this card or not?
No. I might watch the main event.
Yeah.
And I'll watch... you know who I will watch is Mr. Van Zandt. Austin Vanderford. I think he's a legit contender. I like that guy. I met that guy in real life and worked with him for a day. He's pretty cool. Having met him, it's like... You start to see, like, oh, that's why he's with Paige Van Zandt. That's why he's the most hated man in MMA. He is the most hated man in MMA, right? Let's be honest. The guy fucking Paige?
Paige is a hype.
Come on. No, Paige is a dime piece.
She's no Ostrovit.
Go on. If she's the baddest girl in MMA, you should know her name. Rachel, it's literally our Rachel Wi-Fi. It's literally our Wi-Fi name.
Rachel Ostrovich.
Nope.
Rachel.
It is our Wi-Fi name is Rachel Ostovich Admirers.
Ostovich.
So if you're ever around and you see that Wi-Fi name, that is us.
She's the baddest chick in MMA.
She's the baddest chick in MMA. Yeah, you're right. But Paige is fucking close, right? I wouldn't be mad at anybody that preferred Paige. If they like the blonde thing, if they like the Iowa farm girl kind of look, I could totally see somebody preferring Paige. If you like the, like, Miami, you know...
Booty chick.
Big booty, you know, knows all the club promoters... makes horrible decisions about men kind of girl.
Yo, her Instagram is, like, not about MMA at all.
No, you would not know that she trains. You wouldn't know what her career is. So I think that's all the fights from the weekend that we care about, right?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it.
Let's get out of here. Let the people know.
All right, follow me on social media, Jay Rivas on Facebook, and Jay Rivas Comedy on Instagram.
Follow me on Twitter, Bad Tweets. Follow me on Instagram, Joseph M. Gilpin, or at Morganino BJJ. It's my BJJ account. Follow the show, like the show, tell a friend about the show. We always appreciate it. And we'll be back next week here on The Fighter's Block.